founder in Christ hope. The question about hope is, can hope be developed? Can you develop that? That's a crazy question, and there's three sub-questions to that. What is hope? Can you grow it? And thirdly, how? That's our sermon. Three really clear questions. What is it? Can you grow it? I'll give you a hint. The answer is yes. Save time. Yeah, you can. And how would you do that? And the answer to that is looking at scriptures and understanding sort of the nature of that thing. So before I go into the sermon, I want to give you the lay of the land. You would normally think that sermons are for the individuals in a congregation. Sometimes the pastor has a prophetic role, and sometimes sermons are for the congregation. So I'm going to talk a little bit, because we're now beginning a new year. We're beginning a new emphasis. This Stronger in Christ is about small groups and Bible study. Essentially, how can we now connect each other? I want to take a few minutes. This is the sermon part. Take a few minutes to explain kind of what we've been doing the last year and what's next for us. Because unless I do, you may not understand. The function that I have as an intentional interim is essentially to lead a congregation through answering three sequential questions. Who are we? What are we good at? And where should we go? You see how each of those sort of builds on the other? Who are we? And well, all that time I spent listening the first 3 months of last year, we have a good sense. I reported on that. We know kind of who we are. We know what we're good at. We took spiritual gift survey. We did stewardship. And now if we think, where do we want to go? The answer to that is our mission statement. It's a good mission statement. We like it. So can you see that before a church calls the next lead pastor, settled pastor, can you see how you have to know as a church yourself? Otherwise, you kind of pick people off the shelf and there's not a match. When a church answers those questions, there's some self-reflection, there's some awareness of who we are. And that's why an outsider like me can give candid responses and observations, because I wasn't here before and I know I'm not going to be here later. And now my job is pretty much finished, because we're calling good pastors. And that's the function of what this next thing is. We have a sermon series now that's based on what we did in the last half year. This is exactly like grade school, high school, and college. You can't study algebra or calculus unless you get math first. So spiritual growth is like that. In our church, we haven't always done measurable things for quite a while now. So our spiritual growth emphasis last September, October, we have a measurable number of people who now know what their gifts are. That's a pretty cool thing. It's a blessing to you. And then stewardship. Okay, that was amazing. We asked God what God thinks we should do, and then we reported that to the church. And as a result, about $260,000 more than previously will be given, and now people who run the church will spend what we have, not what we don't have. Really good, solid stuff. And because we did that, we're now ready for the next phase, which is, let's see if we can be more connected to each other. Let's make an effort to gather people into small groups of any kind. And if we're doing that, wouldn't it be great if those small groups had a Bible study guide, which Pastor Chris is doing? Isn't that cool? So in your bulletin, whether you're in a group or not, you can still use that. You see the sequential thing. I'm telling you this because now we're talking about Stronger in Christ, and there is an important message and understanding that comes along with that. And just before I get into the scriptures, I'm going to tell you one more thing I think is important. Unless we're careful, you might think that this is another law message, that the thing that you should do is be stronger or try harder or do something different or better. And that might be true, but that's not a gospel message. The truth of Stronger in Christ is that we are already stronger in Christ. The thing we have to do is not to do something, but to receive something. The life-transforming power of the gospel applies even now when we begin this. So the next 5 weeks, I want you to remember this is a gospel thing. This is a gift from God thing. Our church is a God's love delivery system. That's what we're doing here. We're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and having people, even through the sermon, understand that this is a gift thing. So with that in mind, thank you. Long introduction, but I think important. With that in mind, we're looking at these questions. What is hope? Can you grow it, and how? And why would we talk about hope before we talk about relationships or brokenness or goals? Well, hope is an essential part of what it means to be a Christian. If you ask the question, what is hope? That's an important question. That's like asking, well, what is love or what is faith? You know, it's kind of a global thing. It wouldn't take you long, just like it didn't take me very long to look up, you know, variety of website dictionaries and get definitions and understand there's a lot of different ways you can understand hope. We pretty much know what it is. It's a belief or trust or positive expectation of something happening. Hope is that. So in the world that we live in, everybody would generally know what hope is, but there's one more way I want you to understand it. For a Christian, it has kind of a different element. For a Christian, hope is one of the three elements of our faith. What are the others? Faith. Very good. You're smart. Faith, hope, and love, or charity. And we remember that. You remember 1 Corinthians 13, because they read this as at weddings. And these three things exist, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. So it's a great wedding text. And it's supported. We only have a certain amount of time, so I'm not giving you all the scripture reference. It's supported with many other places in the Bible. So it's essentially true that this is an element. Faith and hope and love are all a little different from each other. But if you think about what it means to be a Christian, we have to, as a Christian, have hope. What do we hope in? We hope in the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ as our Savior. There is a hope element to that that's just a little different, understand, than faith would be or love would be. But hope is an element of the Christian faith. And that's a unique thing to know about hope. So that's the question asked and answered. What is hope? Trust it. Hope is also an element of our Christian faith. Can you grow it? Yes. I'm going to go off on a sidetrack. We are fed by God's word. We learn from the word of God. That's an important thing, that sermons or our Christian life together would be informed by God's word. That's what we do here. But another part of that is asking really good questions that touch your life. We don't come together and read the entire Bible. The reason there are sermons is so that God's word can be explained or applied or in some way connected to your life. So God's word has a function, but so do questions. Questions have a function. So this one question, can you grow it? And yes, well, it's an innocent question, but I believe it's a really important one. I had not thought of that before. It was new to me. Can you grow it? Well, I don't know. Yeah, okay. That's an important question. Can you grow it? Okay, so it's yes. How would you do that? And here's the answer. I have three answers, and each one is from one of those scripture references you heard earlier. So if you want to check it out later, save that bulletin, look it up. You can take it home with you, check it out. But I'm going to read briefly from Psalms and John and 1 Peter to answer that question, how does that happen? And the answer globally is by being connected to God in the Old Testament, or being connected to Christ. You grow it by staying close to God. So even in the Old Testament, in Psalms, Psalm 33, verses 17 and 18. Now this is written before Christ, but listen for the remarkable wisdom here and how it applies today. So Psalm 33, 17, page 463. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Well, what's that about? Well, Egyptians had military power because they had horses and chariots. It was, you know, if you're like me, you study history, war. Wow, chariots, war horse, big. But it's not such a big deal. It's a false hope. What does that mean? Today in our political world, we really are into politics and power and military strength. America needs to have strong military so we can actually protect world trade. You know, if you don't like the American military, maybe you don't understand how jobs happen in China or Indonesia, because the world is safer because there's protection. So military strength is really a beneficial thing, even to really poor people all over the world. So military strength, but we tend to want to have power over other people. If you see politics in America, it seems like the left and the right hate each other more than any other enemy. We're so, you know, into calling names. We say, you're stupid. Oh, yeah, well, you're stupid. You know, tweets, everything. There's just no hope for redemption through that culture that we're living in. So what am I saying? Yeah, that's right. The war horse power is a false hope for salvation. In fact, it's no hope at all. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, verse 18, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. What is that? The eye of the Lord. God is watching out for people, on those who hope in his steadfast love. So if you are a person who is hoping, if you have hope in God's love, as you do because you're a Christian, then that means God has his eye out for you. What does that mean? That means if you're praying for health, or like me, that my feet don't hurt so much so I can stand up more, my voice doesn't give out. You know, you're praying for these things, God is paying attention to you because you have a hope that God will hear and answer your prayer. All those people who pray to God have a hope that God will answer them, and God is looking out for those people. You have a connection with a loving God through your hope. How? That's how. Through prayer. That's an Old Testament reference. Two more. One is in John. This is classic, but I'm going to comment on it anyway. John 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Is that right? Yeah. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, that's the person that's going to bear fruit. Abiding, what does that mean? Well, think of this image. Now, this is Jesus talking. I said, I don't know, what can I say? Oh, I don't know if you're going to understand it. Here, let me try this. This is like a grapevine. You all know what a grapevine is, right? You got fruit, you got the branches, you got the vine. Well, that's what our thing is like, Jesus tells his disciples and us. And you think the production of that is fruit, and grapes make wine, and they're delicious, and you'd eat them all by yourself. It's fruit, but you know, you can't get that without the branches. The branches can't get nourishment without the vine. And So we are like this, Jesus says, fed and nourished. It comes this way through the barrel, bah, fruit. That's us. The fruit that we have is love and kindness and gentleness and thoughtfulness. The opposite of power or I win, you lose. It's so rare, and we couldn't do it without being fed by God through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. What does that tell you? If you want to grow hope, you stay connected to the source of that. Another example, grew up on a farm. You know, for a plant, the sunshine, water, soil. You got that? The sun never shines, you're not going to grow. So that's like, we have that. We are, if you have those elements, you grow. That's what we're doing at this church, in steps. And this year, spiritual gifts and stewardship, that's a hard thing. We got through that. Now, the next step is, can we be more connected? That's our next thing. We're ready for that now. It's kind of a cool thing, step by step. So, that's how you grow hope, by being connected to Jesus Christ. And finally, 1 Peter 3, even somewhat more specific as it talks about hope. Page 1014, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Caused us to be born again. I read this as something that is already happening. This is not where you have to do something different or better. This is really an important Lutheran understanding. Both the law, the Ten Commandments, you should do this and not that, that's the law. Both the law and the gospel are from God. God gives us both. God speaks to us in law and gospel. But a good understanding of that, if we're not careful, we could become sort of like the Pharisees. Well, I do all the law things. Well, I'm doing great, and I'm doing better than, you know, that other guy over there, so I deserve. I'm doing good. That's earning God's love. And pretty much every other religion in the world has that element to it. Only Christianity is an expression of the love of God for us. So it's really important we know where our hope comes from. Not from our goodness, it's from the grace of God. So that's the answer to those three questions. What is hope? Among other things, one of the three elements of Christian existence. What is hope? Can you grow it? Yes. How would you do that? By being in Christ. In Christ. We just experience Holy Communion. Now Christ is in us, physically. God invites us to be in Christ, to have a fellowship. Every one of you here, I don't know if you realize how amazing this is, that you chose to be here in church in this moment and hear this message from me on this morning. You did this voluntarily. The government didn't make you do this. Pretty soon the government may discourage you from doing this. You came here to hear this message, and now you're hearing through me, the pastor, that God loves you and you can grow in your hope. What difference will that make in your life? I'll tell you. I'm pretty sure pretty soon you're going to have an additional challenge. And you're going to be angry or tired or just sick of it. I'm sick of it, says I'm sick of it. It's not going to be fun. And you're going to want to have hope. And I'm reminding you something life-changing, that through Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you have hope. You don't have to earn it as your gift today. You are a Christian. You have hope. It says right here, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So not even death will conquer us. We are victors over death. we are going to live forever through the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. So stronger in Christ means a lot to us. We're stronger in Christ when we dwell in Christ, when we live in Christ, when we abide in Christ. That closeness, that's how our lives get changed. That's going to help you today or tomorrow, this week, when something bad happens and you want to lose hope or you have despair. No, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. More than conquerors, because God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Can you grow hope? Yes. How? By remaining in Christ. That's my prayer for each one of us, so we fully understand and receive. What's that again? Understand and receive that God loves us so much, He even now gives us the gift of hope for this new year. A hope that comes to full fruition in eternity, but we have today. May God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I didn't know that we could grow hope, or that could be developed, or that really it was such an essential part of our faith, or that I have it already. For all your gifts from God's word today, I thank you. In Jesus' name.